at a wedding and had a fabulous time. And during the wedding, Liz came up to me with a very serious look, and I thought, oh boy, what's going on here? And she said, could you share on Shabbat a little bit, you know, about what you recently told me? And I said, yeah, I could share a little bit. I think it's probably the right thing to do. And later in the week, I found out she meant take the pulpit. So I got suckered into this. many of you know me, and you know that I value authenticity and being very honest, and you know, my friends are very valuable to me, and I want to be very real. And when Richard was talking about in just these verses, you know, to not complain, and sorry, I'm already starting. This isn't even the emotional part. that's been something that I, for the past 3 years, that's what I've done. You know, I've been a mess. That's changed, right? Totally okay now. And I can't just pretend that everything's okay when it's not. So many of you have seen me up here crying. Not up here, sorry, but in church crying when messages have really hit me and songs have hit me. So I just want you to know that I'm going to do my best up here. And you can keep praying for me to just share from my heart, because what I'm sharing today isn't a sermon. It's just my story. So, Lord, I just pray that you would speak through me and help me to hold it together so that I can be effective in sharing your power in my life. Okay. Today's song, also the waves tossed in the ocean, the vapor in the wind, that was very meaningful to me, and so many things about today's message already have really spoken to me, from the parasha to the New Testament to Homer, his message about how God really is touching people through his power. It's not through just the word of God. It's really the power of God that is touching people's lives. And I'm going to just probably read, because that'll help me calm down and focus. So bear with me. So many of you know that about 4 years ago, we moved here from America, Will and I, and Bubba, Joshua was a year and a half when we moved here. And we moved here not really knowing why it was that God wanted us here right now. He just seemed to open the door, and it seemed the right timing. Since I was born and raised here, and over my 41 years, I've spent about half of my life here and half in America. We've just been back and forth. But most of my childhood I spent here, and it's very meaningful for me to have Shiri here. Shiri is a very good friend from my childhood. Sorry, guys. This is harder. Okay. So we decided to come here and just make a step of faith, because we just knew that this is what God wanted us to do. And we came here I was 2 months pregnant with our daughter Liana, and we knew at that time that there was a 1 in 10 chance that she would have chromosomal issues and possibly a heart defect. And so that was hard enough. And then coming here was very difficult as we tried to establish residency for reestablish my residency and establish residency for Will and Joshua as well. And lots of meetings at the Ministry of Interior and other government offices, and it was very difficult in that regard. And then knowing that I was pregnant with a sick baby, not knowing what was ahead for us, was very challenging. And over the months, we finally got established in the healthcare system, and one test after the other revealed that we did indeed have a sick baby, that she not only had trisomy 21, but she also had a complete AV canal, which is a very large hole in her heart. And when she was born, first of all, we prayed, and so many people prayed, that our daughter would be born healthy and that God would heal her. And on April 3rd, 2009, she was born with Down syndrome and a heart defect that was pretty serious but could have been corrected with surgery. However, over the months that she was in the hospital, she also developed a liver problem that they didn't know about it while I was pregnant. And eventually, the combination of her heart defect and her liver issue turned out to be fatal. So we spent a lot of time running back and forth to the hospital over the months, and also trying to be good parents to Joshua, who was very high maintenance at times, especially at that age. We had a lot of help. Liz was at the drop of the hat. She said, call me if you need anything. And every single time I called and said, I need your help, she was there. And she always said, oh, it's perfect, because, and it didn't matter what, she was always right there for us. So anyway, during this time, we cared for Liana at the hospital for 3 months, and then they allowed her to come home, even though she was not well. They allowed her to come home, and she was on a regimen of midi medicines, and we had to be on the hour. We had to make sure she had her medicines. There were 10 over a 24-hour period each day. And over that month that she was home, we worked really hard to try to feed her through a tube. It was like a medical facility in our home. And also she had 2 or 3 doctor visits a day. Lots of running around. It was exhausting. And then one time I went to the hospital, to Kupat Cholim, just to have her vitamin K shot to prepare her for heart surgery, and they checked her saturation, and it was very low. It was 70 out of 100, and all of us have 100. And they said, she's got to go to the hospital. And at that point, I just broke down, because, 3 months running her back and forth to the hospital was a lot, and to think of going back there, I just mentally broke down right then and there. Somehow we got into an ambulance. Will met me at the hospital with a baby, and about 2.5 weeks later, she died at the hospital. Besides that, at the time that Liana was in intensive care there at the end, we were also moving from one apartment to the next. And also in the middle of that, there was a cancer scare. They gave me a false positive on cancer. And later, after she died, they told me, oh, no, didn't they tell you? That was questionable. We have to test again. So all of this is happening at once. It was just crazy. And during that time, besides being weary and disappointed, I was just very vulnerable to the enemy's attacks. And the enemy really reefed on me. He just gave me one lie after another, and I was too tired to fight it. And because of that, I gave in to his lies. If God can't heal, if God can heal, why didn't he heal my daughter when I needed him most? Why do people get to have multiple kids and my second child has Downs? Everybody else's kids are healthy. Why did I have to have a healthy, unhealthy baby and go through this? Why didn't he heal? So from that time on, 3 years ago, I couldn't pray with faith. Why didn't he meet me when I needed him most? He did so many little miracles for us, and I knew that. But why couldn't he do the big one? Before we came here to Israel, we felt God gave us verses Exodus 23:20-30. So I'm going to read a few of those to give you some context. See, I'm sending an angel ahead of you to guard you along the way and to bring you to a place I have prepared. Pay attention to him and listen to what he says. Do not rebel against him. He will not forgive your rebellion. Since my name is in him, if you listen carefully to do what he says, all he says, I will be an enemy to your enemies and will oppose those who oppose you. My angel will go ahead of you and bring you into the land of the Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And I will wipe them out. Do not bow before their gods or worship them or follow their practices. You must demolish them and break their sacred stones to pieces. Worship the Lord your God, and his blessing will be on your food and water. I will take away sickness from among you, and none will miscarry or be barren in your land. I will give you a full lifespan. And it goes on. After Liana died, I was very bitter. Did God lie? God said he would take sickness from among us before we came here, knowing that Liana had Downs. My faith was shot. I just couldn't believe anymore. When people said, pray for healing, I couldn't do it with faith because I didn't have any. I was a broken person and on the edge and battling depression on a daily basis since then. Sometimes there were a few points in the day when I felt, oh, wow, I feel peace right now. And I didn't know why. It just would come. And it was so different from my normal that I just knew somebody must be praying for me at that moment. I was angry and resentful and stressed and ready to lash out at anyone that crossed the line, which is why I always felt so encouraged when Danny or Dahlia would talk to me about how they got angry at people parking or driving badly, because I could totally relate. In a nutshell, my life here has involved caring for small children, moving every year, and battling depression, all in a city stressed out and aggravated, and I was one of those people. Some of that on the side. Some accounting, yes. And I'm the type of person, I'm very logical, and if I would have heard my story from someone else before experiencing this, I would have just felt like, you know what? Look at your life. God has given you a beautiful baby daughter, Adine, and you have a beautiful son, Joshua. Why not just be thankful for what you have? Oh, the handsome husband. That's a given. handsome and smart. Oops. And funny, yes. Definitely the funny. So 3 weeks ago, the reason Liz wanted me to share was not to make everybody depressed. 3 weeks ago, I finished a Grisham book, and because many of you know we're going back to the States, during our last trip to the States, that was in April, we decided to move back to the States to be with family, to get more support for particularly me because of my state of mind. It's been so hard for me. And during that time, we made that decision, and so we've been making plans since April to move back to the States. But 3 weeks ago, I finished reading a book, and I thought to myself, okay, that's it. It's time to start packing. I need to put the books down. That's, you know, there's no longer time for anything extra, so I better get going on packing. The next day at Shabbat service, Inga handed me a gift, and my daughter, she told me not to open it till I got home, but Adine opened it for me, and I saw that it was a book. And I thought, well, it's a small book. I could do this. So the title of it is Linda, From Accident and Trauma to Healing and Wholeness by Linda Scott. And God used Linda's story to break me. The reason I started reading the book was because I was desperate for help. I needed a miracle. And even though I knew better than to look to a book to fix me, I had a spark of hope that I might benefit from reading her story. Because healing and wholeness is exactly what I needed. I read a little bit at a time, and over a week. And on June 15th, it was a Saturday, I finished reading it. And Will was speaking the next day. And so while he was preparing, I was in my little world reading. And over time, Will and I have definitely struggled in our relationship because of my depression. And it's been very challenging for us on a personal level. And as I read, I began to connect with Linda's story. There were just so many parallels with my life. She was very down to earth and honest, which is what I respect. When I hear stories of people who just have this one-sided situation where everything is always, you know, it was really horrible for me. I was, you know, this, that, and the other terrible things were happening. And then God intervened, and ever since then, life has been peachy. Could never relate to that. Even though I thought it was wonderful, you know, that was not my experience at all. And she was just very honest. And in the page, in these pages that I read, I found a woman who trusted God with humility, even though she had extreme circumstances that could have easily caused her to be bitter, but she chose to trust God. And for me, instead of drawing near God like Linda did during her trials, I pushed God away. Back on November 13th, Laura, our friend, shared how God supernaturally gave her the ability to forgive someone who'd hurt her deeply. And her story hit me like a ton of bricks. And after the service, she asked if anyone wanted prayer. And I just ran up here sobbing. I don't know what she was thinking at the time, because at the time I wasn't that close to her. But she just prayed for me. And she didn't have answers, but I asked her, how do you forgive God? She's just been praying for me ever since. Many of you have. I needed the kind of healing that Laura experienced and the kind that Linda experienced in the book, but I didn't know how to get there. The night I finished the book, I prayed. A broken person with a ray of hope that could heal my soul. I forgave God for taking my daughter. I asked him to forgive me for my anger and bitterness towards him. I asked Will to forgive me for being a difficult wife. It's definitely not easy to live with a spouse who's bitter and angry and depressed. And since reading the book, I've learned a lot about how the enemy uses trauma to gain a foothold during very vulnerable times in our lives. Unless you're very diligent and intentional to battle the enemy's lies, you're susceptible to listening to the enemy's voice and believing his lie. Since that night, 2 weeks ago, I haven't been depressed. This isn't depressed. I've definitely had stressful moments. We've been packing up and getting rid of stuff, as many of you know, all week. And just last night we finished cleaning up the house and handing over the keys to our old apartment, moving in with the Blystras and causing chaos in their house. So it's been a hard week, but it's been good. You know, even closing up shop here, you know, has been easy compared to how hard it was coming here. Just, I go to the Alnona office with Will, and 10 minutes later, we're in and out of there having paid our bills, and we're pinching ourselves going, what is this? What's going on? It's just been a huge blessing that God has allowed us, just confirming how we're taking the right step, even though God has done this in my life prior to moving back to the States. We still feel it's right to go. And along the lines of being diligent, I need to be very intentional not to go back to the old ways of thinking, which is so easy. You know, I feel like God did a big healing in my heart when I forgave him for taking my daughter, when I asked Will to forgive me, when we prayed about bitterness and anger together. He's done a lot. And it's really easy to go back to those old ways of thinking when they've been such a pattern over the amount of years. And if the change is going to stick, I have to be in prayer and bring my struggles before him as they come my way and not allow the enemy to take another foothold. How do I do that? I've learned since my experience of healing about how thoughts can form ruts in your mind, making it easier and easier to slip into the same thought patterns over time. It's a spiritual and a physical thing. It involves choice and God's supernatural intervention. I'm learning to recognize and correct distorted thinking, and I'm learning that through prayer, God can heal. Every time those thoughts come, I just need to ask that the Lord would cover me with the blood of Jesus and fill those ruts and bring wholeness over time. Last week, Jerry Durman read Isaiah 43, 18 through 21. I'm going to read that. When I looked at it this morning, I saw, oh, it was already highlighted from years before. The exact passages. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, and jackals and the owls. The jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland, to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. And that really spoke to both Will and I. We knew right then that was totally for us. So we leave here with hope. Hope in God, you know. And just throughout this journey, Chuck and Liz have been our family. They've supported us along the way, and all of our Narkees friends and family here. We're so going to miss you. And we know that this is just the beginning of our friendships. We'll keep being friends, and we'll keep hooking up over the years. You know, this isn't goodbye. This is, we'll see you later. So, thank you all. Love you. Love you, Chuck.
Thank you. Molly, I know you have a baby here, but Mary Ronnie, can you come up and just pray for Sharona? Can you come up to Molly? And lead us in prayer for Sharona.
Years ago, we had a daughter by name Karen, who was a very good friend of Sharona. As Sharona was speaking, I was crying. We lost her at the age of 28. And there was a time we were, it's funny to say, those who experienced it in this congregation felt a strange blessing in that time. And thank God, I have been able to give Karen to the Lord. She's there waiting for us. We have a future, and so is your daughter there. And when we were in a funeral, I told you, Karen is there, and so is your daughter. God is in control. God is in control. And I'm happy that Shiri is here. I'm happy that her daughters are here. Karen belonged to this congregation. And you friends who remember her, she's waiting for you. And I'm so happy you called me to pray for Sharona. Dear Lord, we praise you and worship you. Your ways are ways we do not understand fully, but we trust you. And we trust now Sharona and Will and the children that you gave them. You gave a daughter, a healthy daughter afterwards. Thank God for that. Be with them, surround them, lead them. Give them a special mission that is the result of what they have gone through. Thank you for this moment in this congregation. Thank you for these pastors and the families who support one another. We praise you and worship you. And we send them with our love and with our blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sharona. Thank you.
Well, I can see why you called me up here. I was a little surprised. But we share something in common, and it's having lost a daughter. And we're just so thankful, Lord, that you do have our daughters. And Lord, it's such a disappointment to our hearts. But Lord, they're not disappointed because they're with you. Mm-hmm. And Lord, I pray that you continue to give Will and Sharona and even the children beautiful pictures of their daughter with you, and knowing that she would not want to come back. Thank you, Father, for the healing that you have started to do in her life. Thank you, Lord, for the knowledge of knowing how to keep on with this healing, and your grace and your love and your faithfulness to her to be that woman that you have created her to be. Lord, that this great disappointment will only serve to make her a better daughter, a better wife, a better mother, Lord, just a better human being. Because out of this great, great sense of loss, this great disappointment, you bring such beauty. You bring such beauty because you are faithful. You are sovereign. And because of this great darkness that she has gone through and the great light that she has entered, you would also bring others much freedom. Yes. And you will bring others that are in darkness into light because of observing and hearing the words of this woman that so loves you, that has been so broken, and is being brought into great, great love, a great sense of peace and knowledge of your faithfulness, that you do things well and that we can trust you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for her willingness to stand here and be so vulnerable before us, Lord. And that you touch our hearts as well because of what you have done through her. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, guys.
Liz, can we just close in a song? Let's all stand.